Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to yet another edition of the Road to Revolution podcast, My Journey with Linkin Park. This week's episode, we're going to be talking about the Hunting Party Tour that took place in early 2015. Specifically, just went to one show on this one, and you'll see why that was a feat in and of itself. Just going to one. We'll talk about that shortly. This one was January 15th, 2015 at the Amway Center in Orlando, Florida. As I said, the Hunting Party Tour with special guests Rise Against and Of Mice and Men. So, you know, as you can see, we're a couple of years removed from them touring with more electronic bands that they did for 1,000 Suns. And like I mentioned on previous shows, they go in waves depending on what the album sounds like. Like 1,000 Suns, they brought out people like Pendulum and The Prodigy and Does It Offend You? Yeah. And then with Living Things, they went for it was more like a, I don't want to say mainstream because they've always been a fairly mainstream band, but it was just more like a rock album, had some electronic on it. It just seemed like the natural progression after going so electronic on 1,000 Suns. This is incorporating more of the rock back into that, and that was what Living Things ended up being. So then you bring out bands that are more straight up rock oriented or have some more rap or some fusion elements in there. So you get Incubus and Mute Math on that tour. So that makes sense too. And then you go into the Hunting Party. So first part of that tour was the Carnivores tour, which we talked about last week, which was 30 Seconds to Mars and AFI. Not a heavy, heavy show, but you know, it was a bit edgier, especially with the AFI. And I don't want to say edgier. It's not edgy per se, but compared to past shows, AFI is a bit, you know, they're more screaming and stuff like that. Whereas Mute Math and Incubus, there's really no screaming. And 30 Seconds to Mars, not much screaming there either. But, you know, you get a good mix of styles with them as well. Very eclectic at points. But then this one was just like a straight up rock show. Through and through, you get Rise Against, Of Mice and Men, and Linkin Park. So you get, you know, the heavy, heavy stuff of Mice and Men. And then you get you know, I don't even know how to describe Rise Against. This is so great. but this was really cool too, because I'd seen Of Mice and Men a bunch of times before this. They're always a great live show. And I'd seen them primarily in small venues, either headlining or with co-headlining with other bands. Like I'd seen them headline a few years before this in Orlando. I'd seen them with a Day to Remember co-headlining. So it was cool to see them with Linkin Park, because I knew they cited Linkin Park as a huge influence. And they even ended up becoming friends with the guys, and Mike helped them work on some songs together. And they'd played a couple of shows before this. I think they played in 2014 overseas. I think the first part of the Hunting Party tour that was in Europe, I'm pretty sure Of Mice and Men was on that as well. So it was cool to see them on this. And I, you know, you love knowing that story of, like, you know, I think a lot of the guys in Of Mice and Men are around my age. So, you know, they would have grown up with the band like I did. So it's kind of cool that they would grow up listening to them and then eventually get to go on tour with them. Like, that's such a cool story. You know, if I was still in a band, that would be the goal, you know, to tour with my favorite bands. I know they said, don't meet your heroes, but if you listen to this show at all, we're well past that. You know, we've met them. They, you know, we love them. They love us and me and, you know, everything. So we're well past that part. But just, yeah, seeing them open for Linkin Park is cool, because you knew how much it meant to them and you knew it was a special tour. And Rise Against just killed it, man. I've seen them at Warped Tour. I've seen them, you know, tour with My Chemical Romance and A Day to Remember and all sorts of bands. And they're always great. Like, just super impressed with those guys. Solid live too. Just like, they sound really, really great live. If you ever get a chance to see them. I think this might've been the last time I saw them. So it's been a couple of years too. So if they come back around, you know, if concerts ever become a thing again, I would love to go see them again. And also, if someone's listening to this years from now and somehow forgot that coronavirus was a thing, that's what I'm talking about when I say if concerts ever become a thing again. Cause I realize I talk about that now, but like, if by some random chance, someone 5 years from now is going through, you know, the Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts search engine, and they somehow stumble upon my show. That's why I say things like that, because who knows what things are going to be like in a couple of years. Hopefully better, not worse. I am rambling. So let's get back on track. That's the pitfall of, or the pratfall of doing a show by yourself. You have no one to rein you in but yourself. So if you go off track, it's your job to bring yourself back on track. And sometimes I'm good at that and sometimes I'm not. So my bad. But you know, it's my show. So if I go off track, that was the plan. So let's just go with that. So more about the show. This was actually my first quote unquote local show since moving to Florida a few years prior. Now, I'd seen them in Florida before. Last week we talked about seeing them in West Palm Beach and seeing them in Tampa. But believe it or not, it's about 3.5 years after I'd moved down here. This would be the first time I'd ever see them in Orlando, which is even more interesting. I was actually thinking about that and I looked it up. They only ever played Orlando 5 times, which is crazy to think. And like their 17-year history, they only ever played the city of Orlando 5 times. And that includes, Lake Buena Vista, which is where the House of Blues sits, which is, you know, on Disney property. But that's in Orlando. Including that, it's only 5 shows in Orlando ever, which is absolutely crazy to me because you would think, you know, I think I've seen some bands 5 times in Orlando since moving here. That's a fact that I think is really crazy and constitutes a actual fun fact. And for reference, this is the crazy part. So as I said, 5 shows in Orlando for Linkin Park ever. And they played Tampa and Sunrise and West Palm and St. Pete and Miami and all sorts of places around Florida. But for Orlando, it's just these 5. The first time they were played here, they were opening for Union Underground in July of 2000 at the Sapphire, which is a fairly small venue here in Orlando. I don't even know if it still exists. And then a couple months later, in September of 2000, they played at House of Blues in Disney with Cottonmouth Kings. Very fitting. I stumbled over that name. And then 2 months later, they came back to Orlando again, touring with POD. That's the nice thing, man. When you're a band that's opening for a lot of people, you take tours when they get thrown at you. You don't kind of get picky. So, you know, if you were a Linkin Park fan in, pretty much anywhere in the country during that point, and granted, it was the early days, so you'd have to have jumped on like right at the beginning. But if you were a fan, let's say in Orlando in 2000, between July and November, you could have seen them 3 times easy, which is awesome. Because, you know, think about now, some of the bands you like, you're lucky to see them 3 times ever, depending on how much ticket prices cost and where they play, or, you know, do they tour a bunch during the year, they tour once and then go make a new album. Every band's different, but they came back in November of 2000 with POD opening again, which was the same tour that my first show seeing Linkin Park was. The Orlando show is just a few days after the New York show. And then after that, this is the crazy part. It goes 3 years between that and their next show, which was at the Citrus Bowl, which was my first time seeing them in Orlando. And that was July 2003 at the Citrus Bowl with Metallica and Limp Bizkit. And then there's a 12-year gap between that show and their next and currently their final Orlando show, which is January 2015 at the Amway Center, which we're talking about today. So not only did they only ever play 5 shows in Orlando, they played 5 shows at 5 completely different venues, which is even crazier to think. You know, I've seen some bands at the same venue countless times since moving here. I've seen, you know, I've been to all of these venues except for the Sapphire. So it's just wild that one band would come back 5 times ever and never play the same place twice. That's a pretty, pretty unique fact. So this show that we're talking about today at the Amway Center, went to with my friend Brandon, or Whippy, depending on what you want to call him. And similar to the last week's episode talking about Tampa, I got Brandon in on the LPU thing too, because, you know, if you can get in, you know, without waiting in line all day and still get on the front row, why wouldn't you do that? You know, I think the membership was $15 or $20, whatever it was. It was worth it. So we ended up doing that. We didn't get there super duper early, maybe an hour before doors opened. Got in line for the LPU side of it. And it was this is the first time this has ever happened to me, because every time I'd seen Linkin Park since moving to Florida, had either been not in Florida, it was in California, or back in New York and Jersey, or the Florida shows were all in the summer. You know, the original shows and the first year I moved here were back in New York and Jersey, and those were in August. And then the next time I saw them was July 14 in San Diego, and then a couple of weeks later in West Palm and Tampa in August of 2014. So this is the first time seeing them during the winter months where I wasn't freezing. I don't even think I wore like a – I wasn't anything heavy. Maybe I wore a jacket. I don't know. It might have been just a button-down shirt or whatever. But yeah, that's the crazy thing. You know, just standing there outside of an arena in the middle of January and not freezing my ass off. It was very, very nice, even though we were only out there for an hour. But still, you know, it wasn't cold. It was nice out. I shouldn't say nice. It was a bit rainy that day, if I remember correctly. But, you know, we weren't out there long. We got into the arena and we waited. And then Of Mice and Men came on and Rise Against. And as I said before, they were both great. Set list notes for this show with Linkin Park. Nothing, you know, revolutionary or crazy. Fairly similar to the tour before this. Couple of swap outs here and there, but you know, nothing like, oh my God, they debuted this or, now they did play A Place for My Head, which I do remember being a big deal because they for a while they weren't playing it a lot. And God, this song just kills live, man. The energy is insane. The crowd goes nuts. There's moshing. There's crowd surfing. People are going crazy. And this is just always one of my favorite Linkin Park songs to see live because of that. It's just such a crazy high energy song. It's also just one of my favorite songs on Hybrid Theory. So to see it live is always a treat, especially after for so long it was in and out of the set list. So it was nice to see it back here. I think it was this show where it was the beginning of the encore. I mean, it was. It was the first song of the encore. And it just started with Brad kind of playing this solo that I remember being able to pick certain notes out and being like, he's riffing on the opening of A Place for My Head. And obviously not everyone in the audience caught that. Brandon didn't catch it. But I'm like, I'm starting to get amped. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to play it. It has been so long since I've heard it live. Let's go. And then, you know, he slowly starts to transition it into the opening of A Place for My Head, and I come unglued. The whole place comes unglued. It is awesome. So that was just such a cool thing, you know, getting to hear one of your favorite songs live, you know, for the first time in a while. And the rest of the encore, pretty standard encore stuff for this point of their touring cycles. New Divide, Crawling, What I've Done, and closing with the big party of Bleed It Out. Now, the thing that made this show very notable, and I referenced it earlier about only seeing one show on this tour was a feat in and of itself, was this was supposed to be like a 15 or 20 date tour all around the country. And this was the first night of the tour, which I think I'm not 100% sure, but I think this was my first ever tour kickoff show. You know, if you don't count the rehearsal in West Palm, because I actually did do the opener of the tour two nights after that that rehearsal. I don't actually think I'd ever been to a tour opener. So this would be the first one. And two nights later was the last show of the tour. Chester had either injured or broke, or he broke his leg playing basketball during some of the downtime at the venue. Either before or after the Nashville show. I want to say it happened before, and then he played the Nashville show with a cast on or a crutch or in a chair or something, and then they canceled the rest of the tour, which is a bummer because I remember talking to Sal, and Sal had tickets to see them in Brooklyn a few weeks later, and that, you know, that didn't end up happening. So yeah, this was only ended up being a 3-show tour, and Orlando was show number one. So we were one of the lucky three that got it. I wasn't supposed to go to any of the other shows on this tour anyway, so it didn't end up, you know, I didn't lose any shows on this like we did in 2011 with the Blizzards or anything like that. But it's still a bummer, you know, especially when you know people in other cities that, you know, had tickets like Sal or I had a couple of friends around the country that had tickets to other shows too. So it's kind of a bummer that they missed out. Cause like I said, this was a great show, especially with that lineup. And you know, when you start to think about this was the last actual US tour, they did a handful of shows here and there over the next few years. But this would be, if I remember correctly, the last full US tour they did. I know they did a couple of one-off shows, and they did a bunch of overseas shows. But this would be the last full US tour before Chester's unfortunate passing. But yeah, that's pretty much it for this week. Not much notable about this specific show itself in terms of performances or set list changes or guests or anything like that. No moments where they point me out or anything like that on this one. So yeah, that's going to wrap it for this week's episode. Next week's episode, we will talk about the last time I got to see them with Chester, which was in Milwaukee for their Summerfest show. With a Day to Remember, which I specifically chose to fly out for that show because those two were playing together. But that story's for next week. Until then, I thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed that this week was a shorter one, because the next two are probably going to be a lot longer. Next week, probably about double the length of this one. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about the Hollywood Bowl tribute show. So that one is going to be a very long one. A lot to talk about on that one. We're going to talk about the entire experience, the trip, the flight, what we did in California, the show itself, go through the whole set list, talk about the guests, the feelings, the experience, the emotions. That one's going to be a big one. So just kind of fair warning for those who do listen to the show. Not next week's episode, but the week after is going to be a long one. So we'll see. We'll see how that one goes. But I thank you guys so much for listening. This week has been a fun one to talk about, and I hope you guys come back next week. And I thank you again so much for listening. My name is Billy, and this has been my road to revolution.